All right, Psalm 141 with a comment on 1 Corinthians 3. So Psalm 141 for our teaching today. I was in Cincinnati yesterday, arrived last night, and we had a Midwest conference with a lot of people came from here by car. It was an 8 and 10 hour drive. Bible college students, what a joy. We had Indiana, Indianapolis folks, Illinois, Chicago. North Carolina. We had a beautiful time. Pastor Bob Schwartz and very encouraging, and a lot of love, a lot of faith, and thanks for your we're connected with a lot of people in a lot of places, and it's all because, turn to Exodus 3, another sub-point, you cannot come, the Lord said, I don't want you to come to me empty-handed. So we're going to look at that for a minute. Exodus 3, when you leave Egypt, I don't want you to go empty. Verse 21, Exodus 3, 21. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Speaking of the Jews, the Jews in Egypt are slaves. They're going to leave Egypt, and he doesn't want them to go out empty. Isn't that nice? 3:21, it's like when your mother sends you off to school. Be sure to take your lunch. Don't go to school empty. When you come home with the car, your dad, mom, did you put gas in the car? Don't bring it home empty. When you leave work, you say to your boss, can you pay me? I don't want to go home empty. When God brought the Jews out of Egypt, he did not want them to go empty. Why? He needed them to worship him, build a tabernacle with gold and silver, and he wanted them to leave with precious metals. And to go into the wilderness, he brought them out, and he didn't want them to go empty because, turn to Exodus 23:15, verse 15, thou shalt keep the feast of unleavened bread. You shall eat unleavened bread 7 days as I commanded thee in the time appointed of the month Abib. For in it you came out of Egypt, and none shall appear before me empty. When we come before God, we are not to come to God with our flesh. We come to the cross, and we bring our life, our self-life, to the cross, and then he fills us. And we come before God, and we are not empty when we come before God. We come with something in our hearts, in our hands. Turn to Exodus 34:20. Same thing. We'll get you. You're following it with me, I'm sure. Verse 20, Exodus 34:20. But the firstling of an ass you shall redeem with a lamb. By the way, you know, you don't call people this animal. You know what animal I'm talking about in verse 20. But in fact, guess what? Okay, enough said. Okay, we're at 34:20. But the firstling of an ass you shall redeem with a lamb. Why does it say that? Why does it say that in the Bible? To the Jewish people, when they had the birth of an ass, I don't know what that animal would be called. Is it a donkey? Is it? The little animal is a donkey? Yeah. Okay. Okay, I believe you. Okay, it's okay. We're good. I mean, I trust. You know, yeah, okay. Donkey, okay, that's fantastic. I learn something every day. That's great. Verse 20. What do you have to do with that animal? Redeem it. You have to redeem it. That's like us. We have to be redeemed with a lamb. And if you do not redeem it, what happens? You break its neck. Wow. What does that mean? There is no future for any of us except we are redeemed by the Lamb, or God judges us and it's over. Right? There's no middle ground. You see, we're saved or our neck is broken, right? It's unacceptable. We're gone. We're done. That's the idea. Isn't that amazing? Okay. Aren't you glad you came to church today? Hey, it's good. Now, wait a minute. Verse isn't done. All the firstborn of your sons you shall redeem. Well, there is the correlation. There's a parallel between the firstborn of an ass, which is a donkey, I learned, and the firstborn of your sons. You have to redeem them. And none shall appear before me empty. Now, the message this morning from Psalm 141 is very simple. First five verses, but the first thing I want to say is very practical, and it is, how do you approach God? How do you and I come before God? We are born again, regenerated. Thank you, Lord. We have the Spirit of God dwelling in us, every one of us. We are taught this in the Scripture. We are God's children. And now when we come before God, we come before God a certain way. Many times when we come to God, we are so broken and hurt and maybe reactionary and maybe emotional. And when we come that way, we are not coming with thanksgiving. We are not coming in faith. We're coming in our heaviness. We're coming with ourselves, kind of. That's what we could say. We come that way. But we must come to God at the cross, where we, in a sense, bring our hurt and our self-life to God at the cross. And I say, Lord, this is the first man. This is the ass, so to speak, you know. This is me. This is my strength, my self-will. This is me. But you have redeemed me with the Lamb. You have saved me. You have forgiven me. And I trust you fill me. Then I come to you by faith with Christ, not empty-handed. But this is our ministry to God. We come with Christ. Sometimes Christians come with their brokenness, I mean, in the sense of what they have in their trouble and their pain and their hurt. And actually, we should realize that God was looking for Christ. He's looking for the Holy Spirit. We are able to minister to God by faith and the Spirit of God filling us and leading us. This is at the heart of ministry, and what has changed our lives is that we kind of leave our old man in his place in death. We leave the old man and we confess our sin, and he's faithful and just to forgive us. Now we go on and we come boldly, we live this way in Psalm 141. So turn there with me, please. Oh, I had one other little, I think we'll get to it later. Psalm 141, verse 1. Lord, I cry unto thee, make haste unto me. They come quickly to me. Give ear unto my voice when I cry unto you. Let my prayer be set forth before you as incense. This is the aroma from the burning, the fragrances of those trees in the Arabia where you scar the tree and the bark of the tree. It's a very small tree, and it bleeds this gum, this resin, and that resin hardens, and they harvest it, and they can burn it, and it's beautiful. Frankincense is what it's called. And this is like our prayer. You can't see the prayer. It's like an aroma. You can smell it, but it's from our spirit. This is because we don't come to God empty or in our stubbornness. We are coming to God in our brokenness, and we are people of faith and prayer. Verse 2, and the lifting up my hands as the evening sacrifice. Why do you lift your hands? It's kind of a action of faith. I'm not coming empty-handed, but I'm coming like in faith. I'm doing this by faith. I am lifting up my hands and waiting on God. And this is how we approach God. This life of the Spirit is something new for us. And many Christians, they need to learn this new faith, this walk of faith in the Spirit. Many people know about God and the doctrine of God and the Jesus Christ and the work of Christ on the cross, but many do not know about the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit having us come, we come before God not empty, but we come without empty hands. We come with the Spirit of God by faith. Let's say my daughter has a problem, or my son, or my grandchildren, or my house or job or whatever, and I can leave it there, and I want to come to God. This is different from my problems and creation. It's God coming to God, and it's like fragrance, and lifting up the hands is a sacrifice, because I leave my life there, and now I am coming before God to hear from him and leave my things there and come before God this way. Verse 3, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Why? Because I'm not coming to God empty-handed. I'm coming with my lips. I've got, first of all, my prayer, my lifting of my hands, and now my lips are lips of faith. And I can quote a Bible verse. Guard my lips. Yes, I can make my complaint to God. That's a psalm as well. Isn't it? Isn't it Psalm 142? Yeah, 142, verse 2 on the same page. I poured out my complaint before him. But this is the authority that a believer has in the Spirit to praise God, to sing to God, to offer up something in faith, to make a confession before God, to believe God. This is how we come before him. And Lord, keep the door of my lips. Verse 4. Incline not my heart to any evil thing. And I have seen that happen in my heart. My heart gravitate to evil things. Have you seen that happen in your life? My heart gravitate to things that are, it's Psalm 119, my soul clings to the dust. I gravitate to bad things, evil things. I also have a reactionary heart. Turn to that 1 Corinthians 3 portion. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 1, 2, and 3. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. Have you ever reacted when somebody told you to do something? Put your mask on. You put yours on. Okay. Have you ever reacted when somebody told you to do something in school, at your job? Have you ever reacted? Yeah, to people? Have you felt angry? Have you been frustrated? Have you sworn, like with curses or words or unclean words or vulgar words under your breath or in your heart? How about it? Anybody? I have, if that helps you. I have. Do you know what it is to be carnal? Do you know what it is to be angry with people? Do you know what it is to be unforgiving? Do you know what it is to be angry with your neighbor? Because the fruit tree goes over your fence and all the rotten apples fall in your yard and all the good apples fall in their yard or their boat or something about their house. Huh? Do you know what it is to be carnal? Look at verse 1, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. What is needed for these people? To come to God as a way of life by faith, and they can begin to relate to God. You see what I mean? They're relating to God. Don't come to me empty-handed. And don't come to me like just all the time with your complaint and your flesh, but come to me redeemed. Come to me filled with, come to me with truth. Come to me looking unto me. Come to me, learn how to walk in the Spirit. Come to me in faith. Come to me in worship. Come to me with a song. Come to me with thanksgiving. Come to me by faith. Now notice it. Look at verse 2. 1 Corinthians 3, 2. I have fed you with milk. And that happens much in the Christian life. Like Christians love to hear. Do you know what they love to hear about? Getting rich. About faith and getting, dreaming about the car you want. Putting the picture of it on the refrigerator. You know, they want to hear about how God will heal everybody all the time, no matter what. If you got faith, it'll always happen. Now, you know what they want to hear? I'll get a new job. I'll get a beautiful wife. I have happy kids, and I'll live happily ever after with a picket fence and all the whole, the yellow, what is that? White, what is the first part of it? The little house or no? Little house on the prairie. Kathy Ryan said, little house on the prairie. Finnish, it was Punainen. Wasn't it Punainen Ma? No, Peruna. Punainen Tupaya Peruna Ma. It's little red cottage in potato country. Yeah, it's the same. It's that idea. You know what it is? Life isn't always like that, right? No, I I could envy a Christian. There's a Christian who's got all the things I dreamed of, and I'm in the same church. And I'm looking at myself, and I'm envious. Look at the verse. It's 3, verse 3. For you are yet carnal, for whereas there's among you envying. When I am envious, I realize that's not God. No. There's strife. When I'm ready to fight in the church hallway, when I'm ready to fight with my sister and brother, when I'm ready to fight, and also there's divisions, there's groups and party spirits that are in the church, even in families and in communities, and all of this is a part of, this is the way we live in the flesh or carnally. And if that is happening in the church, and he's talking about it straight up, isn't he? He's saying, some say there are of Paul, another of Apollos, in verse 4. I am of Dr. Stevens. I've noticed that. I am a true follower of Dr. Stevens. Pastor Schaller is not. But Pastor Stevens, he is my pastor, and I teach what Pastor Stevens teaches, and Pastor Schaller has departed from the way. He has departed. I've seen it happen 2 times. Yes, I've seen that 2 times. Wow. It's like, Wow, that's amazing. You are the loyal pure. You're the pure Bible speaker. You are. It's like, let it be. Okay, that's up to you. That's your call. But I would like to bring the whole principle to this text and just say, how are you building? Paul said, I laid the foundation. Dr. Stevens is not the foundation. Pastor Schaller is not the foundation. There isn't any man in the world that is the foundation. Jesus Christ is the foundation, and let every man take heed how he builds, right? Let everybody take heed how you build on that foundation. And you could say to that brother, how's your building going? How are you making disciples? What's the fruit of your labor? How's it going? You know, that's a good question, isn't it? It's like, do you have joy and peace? Do you love the brethren? Do you love Apollos and Paul and every other brother? Do you love them? I mean, are you loving the brethren, imperfect people? By the way, you're an imperfect person too. And that, we didn't hear about that from Dr. Stevens about being divisive. Because he was a wise master builder, but he's not the foundation. Let every man take heed how he builds, for these are only people that come and go. By the way, this guy up here is on his way out. Yeah, this is a moment of silence right now. Yeah, I'm on my way out. Who isn't? We all are, right? I'm not planning to go anywhere in the immediate, but I'm just saying, hey, you better get geared up for having the right mindset for the next transition. And the only way that happens is by what? Listen, when you come to God, you're not coming empty-handed. You're coming to God with Jesus Christ in your heart and the Holy Spirit filling you. And you learn how to minister to God and walk with God so that you are Spirit-filled. And Spirit-filled people are the greatest people in the world. Spirit-filled people, they're not perfect people, but they've got love in their hearts. They can take a beating. They can survive. They can persevere. They can be persecuted and bless their enemies. They can go down, but they don't ultimately go down. They end up coming up. They are built up and edifying, and they learn how to live. But you can't be coming to God just like with all of your grievances and whining. This is what our culture is teaching our new generation, the next generations, to just come, always whine, always have something missing, always you don't have enough, always it's not fair. It's not fair what happened to me. It's not right what happened to me. I need more money, and nothing's right. And it's always like that. It's like God is saying, you know, I need you to come to me, but not, I'm bringing you out of Egypt, and I need you to come to me because I'm giving you the Lamb of God that's redeemed your soul. And I'm filling you with the Spirit, and I'm teaching you how to live. And I don't need a whiner. I need somebody, Jesus Christ. He is not a whiner. Jesus Christ is who I'm looking for. And we come not empty-handed, we come with Christ. Who is it? Christ. I come in the name of Christ. Who is knocking on the door? Christ. Who is it really? It's me coming in the name of Jesus Christ. Who are you? I am filled with the Spirit of God. I am thankful to you, God. You are my God, and my lips are filled with praise and thanksgiving for the Almighty God who has filled me, redeemed me, saved me, and gives to me what I need. Oh, that's amazing. Yeah. Okay, go back to, so you got where we're going, right? Psalm 141, we're going to finish in a minute here. Verse 4, we're going only to verse 5. Incline not my heart to any evil thing, and I said, I have a tendency to my heart to go in that direction. I have the thoughts, but I do not park there. Listen, you can have evil thoughts come to your heart, but they're on the way out. Bye-bye. I'm not parking there. You're not welcome in this house. I am not interested, Lord. I know what sin is. That's a sin. I don't accept it. You see, sin can come to your mind, but it's your decision if you take a hold of it. Birds will fly over your head, Martin Luther said. Birds will fly over your head, but you cannot let them make a nest in your hair. Temptation may come, but it's your call if you welcome and receive it and agree. That's a sin mentally, accepting it. Amen? Let it go. Let it go. That one's going. That one, and you're not, that one's going. I'm not even thinking about it. So go, move on, get out of here. You're not welcome. But my evil heart can do that, can take it. But he's saying it's a prayer, isn't it? I love these simple prayers. I believe in them. Incline not my heart. And guess what? It doesn't happen. He answered my prayer. Deliver me from temptation. Guess what? I don't have it. It didn't come. He delivered me. He answered my prayer. Isn't that good? Wow. Prayers. He answers our prayers. Verse 4. Incline not my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men that work iniquity, and let me not eat of their dainties. Those sweet little morsels, little delicacies. I wonder what we would say they are today. Little jelly, little sour gummy bears. What can we say? Little tort, you know? Little French pastry, cream puff. Oh. Oh, a slice of filet mignon, with béarnaise sauce on it, huh? Oh, man, have you ever gone hungry for a while? And then there it is, just in your mind, the burger of burgers. I know you guys don't eat burgers, but I'm just being honest today. Hey, isn't it? Well, how can you keep from it? I think our relationship with God is so sweet. Being filled with the Spirit gives me such a new kind of heart. And you enjoy righteousness. You love righteousness. You love truth. You respond to it. You come together and you hear it. There's a brother that got saved in Indianapolis. First time I met him yesterday, and he recognized my voice. He said, he said, I hear your voice. I recognize you by your voice. I listen to you every morning. I listen to a full message every day. He goes, my life has changed. It's been months now. I've gotten saved. You wouldn't believe. I've had my hard times. I've been incarcerated, and I've gotten saved. I'm just excited. Jesus has taken my life. You know, Jesus did it. Man, whenever you meet somebody, when that has happened to somebody, you just think, you know, it's just incredible, isn't it? And what the dainty morsels that are in the world, we vomit them up, gravel in our mouth. And the proverb says we take them and eat them, but then vomit them up and we suffer because of it. So we found a new one, new way. Verse 5 in the last verse, let the righteous smite me. Now, Spurgeon said, he prefers the bitters of gracious company to the dainties of the ungodly. He would rather be smitten by the righteous than feasted by the wicked. He gives a permit to faithful admonition. He even invites it. Smite me, righteous man. I think of it like this. There's a righteous man, and he's serious, maybe. He's laughing. He's joyful. I'm relaxed with him. He's loving me. He's encouraging me, and then he's serious. And then he says something to me, and it's like goes right to, it's serious. Like he's telling me, seriously, don't do that. Like, stop it. Don't do that. And then you just say, let the righteous smite me. I want that. I want that. I have a thing when I talk to people. I talk to a guy on the airplane, but I have a little thing that I like to say to people. I go, you know what? I think a lot of people are getting away with lies, and nobody's telling them the truth. But you know who's hearing the truth? The guy that wins a gold medal in the Olympics. That gold medal winner, he probably had a coach that was tough. And that coach told that guy, when you swim like this. When you play tennis, you play like this. When you're a gymnast, you got to do the flip off the bench this way. And you don't have it right. Now get it right. Now those people are winners. They are winners. They are being trained. They are learning. They have to succeed. They want to succeed. All these other common people, they are the common people around us. They're whining and believing lies, and they're not doing anything. They're being caught captive by liars. And I'm angry about it. You know what I mean? I don't like it. You know, you take a lot of money out of the bank, they give you a lot of money out of the bank, and then they find out that they're in great debt. Well, what, I didn't get it. I thought you told me I could have the money. You can have the money, but, you know, you can sleep with a woman and do whatever you want to, but you might go to jail. Or one case that I know of, this guy, his wife was violated. He took a baseball bat, went to the man's house. He broke every window in the house that baseball bat could reach. He went around the house, the garage. He went to every car in the driveway. He broke every window. The man was furious that his wife was violated. Yeah, I didn't know about that part. I didn't know what it would happen. You see, the wicked people are not good. They don't tell you the truth. They're not honest with you. They don't have a ministry to you. You don't get a benefit by being with wicked people. But you say, let the righteous man, the man of God, let the righteous man smite me. I need this church more than anything. I don't know. I got a health club and I got a school and I got a job and I got a house, but I need a church. I need a righteous man. I need a righteous woman in my life to help me. It says there, verse, let's read it. It says, when the ungodly smile upon us, their flattery is cruel. When the righteous smite us, their faithfulness is kind. This is Spurgeon. Sometimes godly men rap hard, like they beat hard. They do not merely hint at evil, but hammer at it. And even then we are to receive the blows in love. Can the carnal man receive a blow? Can the carnal man who is like a child in the faith, can he receive a blow? They may not receive a blow. I cannot take it. You do not understand my wound. You do not understand my pain. You do not understand my life. And I am saying, wait a minute. You need to learn to come to God and come not empty-handed, but come to God and not with your stuff. You come to God with Christ. And with Christ, you can take a blow. With Christ, you can receive truth. With Christ, you can be edified by God's visitation. By Christ, you can be corrected and be humble. By Christ, you can be edified and filled with joy and peace. By Christ, you can do the right thing. And by Christ, you can say to a woman that is not to be in your life, you can say, no, I don't have that in my heart. That's not my future. And young men have an amazing need to learn this thing of being submitted to authority and submitted to truth. And young women and women in our generations and our children, they need it, and we as adults need it. Let me wrap it up here. It says, fools resent reproof. Wise men endeavor to profit by it. Let him reprove me, it shall be an excellent oil which shall not break my head. Oil breaks no heads. You know what breaks a head? A 2x4. A 2x4 breaks a head. Oil doesn't. But oil doesn't break my head. Oil is an anointing that influences my heart. And I want my heart broken. I want to be corrected in my heart. Amen. It says, oil refreshes and perfumes, so does reproof when fitly taken, sweeten and renew the heart. My friend must love me well if he will tell me of my faults. Here is an unction about him if he is honest enough to point out my errors. Many a man has had his head broken at the feasts of the wicked. That's a good point. They go to the feasts of the wicked and they come away, they are devastated. But none at the table of a true-hearted reprover. How many times has Pastor Love been at the table with Dr. Stevens? And Pastor Stevens, who was our pastor, and he pastored us and many here in the room, and we would get reproved, but it wouldn't break our head. We would go away. I'd rather be at that table and be reproved by truth where it would touch my life and help me and repent from my wayward way and be trained in the way of thinking. Head-breaking and heart-breaking attend the anointings of the riotous, but it is otherwise with the severest censures of the godly. They are not always sweet, but they are always excellent. Good word. They are not always sweet, but they are, hey, that could be for our church service. Our church services may not always be sweet, but they are always excellent. Yeah, it's a good word. They are not always sweet. I was church today, woo! But it was excellent. I'll take it. Then lastly, they may for the moment bruise the heart, but they never break the head. Yet my prayer also shall be in their calamities. Well, that's the next part of the verse, and I think I just want to say more could be said about that, but it means that even when the righteous fall into trouble, I love them so much, I'll be praying for them. Did they reprove me? Yes, but I never became bitter. I never said, I never want to see you again. I never treated the righteous like that. And when they get into trouble, I'll be praying for them because we're on the same team. That's what the Spirit does with us in the body. And I'm very, very thankful for it. I am concerned that many Christians are carnal and you have to stroke their ego and do whatever to keep them here. Keep them in the church and do whatever you can. It's like, no, it's like you got to make some decision and learn personally how to come to God and not be empty-handed. And come to God and walk with God. And then when you are in the assembly, God will feed us. And let the righteous smite me. It will be not breaking my head, but will be anointed oil for my life. Amen? Okay. Lord, we think of this, Cincinnati, Chicago, Greenfield Fellowship, and their ministries, Cincinnati. And then what it means around the world, what you have done by righteous people. You have answered our prayers, honored your Son, Jesus Christ. Save souls, you built up the body, you made us faithful members of the body. We are very honored to be part of this great work of grace worldwide with all our sisters and with every church, every believer. And yes, thank you for that beautiful song today with Nick and Roseanne. That was amazing. And for correcting us and helping us. Thank you, Jesus. And anyone not started your Christian life can come to Jesus today by faith and start it up. Walk by faith in him. Trust him. Turn from your own self and don't come to God empty-handed, but come with Christ in your heart. In Jesus' name, amen.